Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We have been dealing with some of the ways that the New Testament scriptures undermine slavery, the institution of slavery. We've already noticed, of course, that the Bible does not directly destroy slavery. It doesn't directly abolish it by command. But nevertheless, if the teachings of the New Testament are followed and carried out to their ultimate degree, they will make slavery impossible. But in the meantime, until those principles do work themselves out, the New Testament scriptures give instructions to the slave and to the slaveholder. And that's the section we've come to in Colossians chapter 3. After Paul has addressed wives and husbands and children and parents, he comes to slaves and masters as the last two components of the typical household, Roman household, in the day in which he writes. And the first verse of this section, and it is a several-verse section, says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Well, we want to talk a little bit more about how the New Testament undermines slavery, and then we'll get more specifically into what the New Testament requires of those who are slaves, when the institution of slavery has not yet been abolished. And so we shall do that, gathering around God's Word on this Friday, March 10. And we can do that because some of our radio listeners help us with the financial costs. How does the New Testament undermine slavery? The first several I mentioned yesterday, and I'll just review them quickly. Number one, by addressing slaves as responsible human beings, something that would not have been done in the pagan world of Paul's day. In other words, Paul is addressing slaves who are Christians and members of the church at Colossae, and he addresses them as people who are capable of hearing and obeying instructions, who are capable of making decisions, who are capable of acting honorably and morally, and that is something that was generally not done in the Roman world. Number two, the New Testament undermines slavery by regarding slaves as equal members of the church. Yes, you may be a slave, but you are as much a member of the body of Christ as every other born-again believer. You are as much a member of the body of Christ as your master, who is a Christian. You are as much a member of this local body of believers as anybody else, including your master, though he may have a legal relationship over you as far as society is concerned. In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, slaves are regarded as equal members of the church. Number three, the New Testament regards slaves' ultimate masters as Christ himself. And if so, slaves, therefore, like all of God's people, must refuse to obey an unlawful command. The slave owner, who is a Christian, would come to understand that if the governing authorities in his life ordered him to do something that was a violation of the laws of Christ, he would have to disobey. Like the apostles, who were commanded not to preach or teach in the name of Christ, and they said, "We cannot obey that command." Well, likewise, if slaves are Christians, and if their ultimate master is Jesus Christ, as this passage makes very, very clear, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And so by regarding Christ as the ultimate master of slaves, Christian slaves, then slaves are required to refuse to obey an unlawful command, and that in itself would undermine the institution of slavery in a day when, in the Roman Empire, slaves were required to obey any and every command of their master, no matter how ungodly, no matter how much a violation it might be of Christian principles. But there are more. The New Testament commands Christians to treat others as they would like to be treated. We're familiar with that. I read the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is sometimes called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We are to treat others as we would like to be treated. How can a Christian hold others in bondage, particularly, let's say, another Christian, another member of the body of Christ, with a straight face, if he's trying to obey the command of Christ, that he treat others the way he would want to be treated? In other words, would you like to be a slave? Would you like for your slave to be your master and for him to own you? I don't think anybody who's being honest would say that that's what they would want. Somebody might say it to be argumentative, but we all know that that's not true. Nobody would want to be a slave. Nobody would want another person to own them. If that be true, and if the Bible commands us to treat others as you would like to be treated, then the institution of slavery cannot exist. And furthermore, the Bible also requires Christians to esteem others better than ourselves. Another principle which carried out would pretty much eliminate slavery. That's Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now apply that to the slaveholder. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each slaveholder consider his slaves better than himself. That's pretty hard to do, and to continue holding them in slavery. And furthermore, slavery depends upon legal, social, and economic distinctions in society, but none of these apply in the church. There are no legal sanctions for slavery within the laws of the church. There are no social supports for slavery within the requirements of the church for the way that Christians are to relate one to another. There is no place to treat people differently based upon economic distinctions in the church, as there are in society and as are necessary to uphold the institution of slavery. And therefore, in the church, slavery basically cannot exist. You can't treat slaves as slaves within the relationships that belong to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may recognize that they are slaves in society. In Roman society, according to the laws of Rome, they are slaves, but in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot, must not, and will not treat them any differently than you would a free person. So that undermines the institution of slavery. And all of these things that I've talked about so far are revolutionary ideas. We look at slavery from our vantage point, in our society, having come to the conclusion that it is an awful institution and must not be allowed, and we wonder why it took our country so long to recognize that. We wonder why it took other countries so long to recognize that. It seems so clear, so plain to us now, and therefore sometimes we find it difficult to understand why doesn't the Bible just command the abolition of slavery? Why was there any seeming ambiguity regarding this matter in the scriptures? But when you consider what I've just said in the context of the first century and realize how utterly revolutionary the teachings of Christ were to the institution of slavery in that day, you'll realize that the New Testament, though it did not directly abolish slavery, it certainly did so indirectly by undermining all of the understandings and mores and norms that were necessary in order for it to exist. Now, it is true that Christians have not always recognized these things and carried them out. But we have to realize that Christians are often slow to believe and obey what the Bible teaches, right? In every area, in many areas. And the answer to that is to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. You haven't got it yet, but keep listening. Let me keep explaining it to you. Let me go at it again from another angle and show you what Christ teaches us through His Word. And as you begin to understand and apply these things to your life, it will gradually dawn upon you that you cannot continue to maintain this master-slave relationship. It will not work when you are carrying out the law of Christ in your life, when you are endeavoring to act like a Christian, when you are endeavoring to be Christ-like in your relationship with others. And so actually, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has always been at the forefront of the abolition of slavery. Please give it credit. Where slavery has been abolished in society, it has done so because Christians led the way. Christians called upon society to abolish slavery. Christians who had finally come to understand what the Scripture teaches in this regard first applied it to themselves and their homes and their economic relationships and their interactions with others within the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then from that vantage point have called upon the world at large to do the same. And as we know, the world is generally deaf to spiritual truths. It took 18 centuries for the world to catch up to what Christians were understanding in the first century. So don't rag on the church and don't denigrate the Bible because it didn't come to the conclusion that you think it should have. It didn't make the statements you think it should have as quickly as it should have. And in the whole course of world history, acknowledge that it is actually and specifically the teachings of Jesus Christ that have brought about an end to slavery in most parts of this world. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.